Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning we have with us Dean Thompson, who is the president of the Resilient Floor Covering Association. How are you doing, Dean?
I'm doing very good. Thank you.
Well, it's good to catch up with you. You know, I haven't spoken to you much since you left Millikan a few years ago. How long has it been since you left Millikan?
I retired from Millikan in November of 2005.
Okay. So now you're running the Resilient Floor Covering Association. Tell us a little bit about that organization.
Well, technically, we're actually known as the Resilient Floor Covering Institute.
Okay, Institute.
RFCI.
All right.
And we're an organization that exists to support and maintain a positive environment for those people who manufacture in the resilient industry. Basically, our stated mission of RFCI is to enhance the long-term growth and well-being of the North American resilient floor covering industry. How about that for a mouthful?
Okay. Right.
And basically what we do is we exist to leverage the collective member resources that we have in industry to address industry issues and opportunities that really typically would exceed the scope of any single member company and that, you know, really offer good for the common good of the industry. A good example of that would be a few years ago when the indoor air quality was raising its head is that the resilient industry united and as a result developed a program known as FloorScore, which is an indoor air quality certification program, which turned out to be very, very successful and has been one of the real successful programs, I think, and examples of what I mentioned about leveraging resources to do things that are good for the overall industry. Great example of that.
Yeah.
Another one might be the we're presently working on a sustainability assessment standard for the industry, and we have a draft standard out through NSF that is moving forward. So that's just another example of some of the things that we're doing.
All right, and when we talk resilient, we're talking vinyl and linoleum, and we're talking sheet and squares. I mean, does that just about cover and both the residential and the commercial side? Is that
yeah,
right?
Right. Most of the resilient, the only thing we would exclude out of resilient, the really hard floor categories like stone,
yeah,
wood, ceramic, and laminate, those are excluded. So basically we're talking about primarily the vinyl floor covering category.
Right. Vinyl and also linoleum.
Vinyl and linoleum, yes, sir. Exactly.
And rubber.
Rubber is in there. It's a small component. You know, the those kind of products like rubber and cork, you know, represent less than 5% of the market, 5 to 6% of the market, so they're small.
Okay, well, listen, before we got on the phone, I looked at the last time we did an estimate on this side of the business, and we had estimated in 07 that the business had actually grown and was about a $1.7 billion a year business. Do you think, was that an accurate read?
I'd say you pretty much on target on that.
Okay.
I think the encouraging thing that we've seen on the resilient side, if we look at it, you know, in terms of growth, in comparing resilient from, let's say, 2006 to what we would estimate in 2007, we've seen some pretty good growth in share from about 14% to nearly 17% share growth. And basically, resilient is, if you look at from 2006 to 2008 numbers, from what I've seen and gathered, even though the overall industry is down and all categories are down, resilient is down by far the smallest amount compared to all the other categories.
Yeah,
and I think there's some really good reasons for that.
Well, actually, I was going to point out, you know, I just this week listened to a speech by Randy Merritt at the National Floor Covering Distributors meeting, and you know, he was talking about from peak when you about the time you left Millikan, from peak to where we are now, in volume, that business is off about 400 million square yards, or about 26%. You guys, if you're down, you're not down by anywhere near that much, are you?
Exactly right.
Yeah. So, and another thing too, I think that's happened is imports were a big factor, are you seeing a little bit of a reversal in that area, or is it still about the same?
Well, we've seen an increase in imports. Some of that is on a plan basis, based on the fact that some of our manufacturers have manufacturing done outside of the country. But we've seen a growth in imports, just like we've seen a growth in exports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the export growth for our U.S. manufacturers in vinyl tile, for example, is over the last 5 or 6 years is up 35 to 40%. Sheet goods exports are up 36 to 40%, so you know we see that as an offsetting factor. The thing I really want to comment on is why resilient flooring is in the the position it is in terms of its growth. And one of the reasons is that there's a pretty good diversified range of end-use markets for our product. But primarily, if you look at the residential versus non-residential components, there's, I think, some key information that will help. If we look back to 2002, for example, I would say about 54% to 55% of the market was on divided between new residential builders and the residential remodeling and replacement. And you have about 43% back at the same time that was on the non-residential construction and commercial remodeling and replacement. Today, that's just the opposite. If you look at where we are today in the market in terms of the residential side, and that's new residential work and residential remodeling and replacement work, today we're at about 42 or 3%. But if you look at the non-residential construction and commercial remodeling and replacement, combine those, our business is about 57%.
Okay, so it's gone from 60-40 weighted toward residential to 60-40 weighted toward the non-residential.
I think a good way, you know, close to that. So that's a, I think that's a pretty good indication. And that's, I think, one of the reasons where we've seen less of a decline in the market overall in terms of spending. And the other factor I think that plays out into that is on the commercial market segment side, a lot of that spending has been focused in some segments where resilient happens to be especially robust. Education and healthcare segments, for example.
Right.
If you look at the non-residential spending, those categories have been up significantly, and so I think resilient has naturally benefited from that as well.
And probably another factor is the look that you're getting now on this LVT side. I mean, you look at some of the things that are coming out there. That's some gorgeous, very attractive vinyl products that emulate or look like other things that perform well and actually look pretty good.
Well, I think that's a good observation. No question, when you look at the styling that's coming out today, and that's really driving. And you talk to the A&D community, and I've spent quite a bit of time working on a consulting project before I joined RFCI, and I was doing some product research work, and there was no question one of the product categories that kept coming up and was being discussed by the architectural and design community was luxury vinyl tile.
All right, so you're actually another reason for this growth is it's a value. And right now in the current economic situation we're in, you can get a very nice floor covering, and it's not quite as expensive as stone or hardwood or some of these other alternatives.
Yeah, if you look at from a value standpoint, I think that's another very good observation. If you look at resilient flooring today, on a square foot basis for material, resilient flooring is about 58 cents a square foot. If you look at it from that standpoint, compared to carpet and area rugs, which is about 88 cents. But if you look at some of the other hard surface categories, like wood flooring, which is 230, roughly, stone flooring is going to be in the mid-fours, 4.5 or so.
Yeah.
So just naturally speaking, and I think especially as we see times when economics play a little stronger role, the value of resilience really stands out, I think, categorically extremely well.
Well, I got to say, I mean, there's really only two sectors in the total flooring business right now that are beating the average, and I think resilient is one and probably the best one. And also, I think area rugs are doing pretty well still. So, you know, those are the only two categories that are down only slightly versus some of the other categories.
Yeah, I think that some of our, no question that our manufacturers have done a good job working on improving the performance characteristics of resilient flooring, including introducing products that require minimal maintenance. As you know, maintenance cost in the life cycle cost of flooring can be fairly high.
Yeah.
So I think some of those initiatives are beginning to pay off, as well as some of the styling design things that you talked about a few minutes ago.
Right.
Other factors that are really helping drive it.
Well, what would you say to a designer who's thinking about specifying a resilient flooring, but also considering doing polished concrete? I mean, that's got to be a new popular alternative, and I know there are some benefits. For one thing, resilient is not as hard on the employees that are walking on it, right?
Well, exactly. But the truth of the matter is, Kemp, if you look at the amount of polished concrete out there, while you hear people talk about it, still the relative size of that market is very, very minuscule.
Yeah.
But basically, I think any designer today that's trying to design from an ergonomic point of view, which a lot of them really need to do, especially in the commercial market, really need to take underfoot comfort into consideration.
Right.
And also, I think that even though polished concrete is popular, I think there are some other inherent maintenance issues down the road that need to be taken into consideration. And that's a category that's probably a little less proven, but if you look at, you know, the resilient category of products, one of the things we really have going for us is that we have decades of proven performance.
Right.
And we know the ergonomics and the underfoot comfort of resilient stands on its own merits based on those many, many, many years of success we've had.
Yeah. Well, what is your crystal ball telling you as far as what the rest of this year and early next year are going to look like? You got any feel for that?
Well, I think obviously it depends on what's going to happen in the construction market. Still,
right,
is a big driver. And based on the data that I've seen, let's just talk about the residential side for just a minute, where we've seen housing starts, you know, drop from where they were back in 2006 at 2.1 or so million starts.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen those numbers plummet down to a million starts.
Yeah, under
in 2008, and it's going on down below that.
Yeah.
And based on what I've seen, the economic forecast, and looking at some of Moody's information, it looks like, you know, it's going to be 2010, maybe the fourth quarter or so, before we see housing starts get back up to that 1.4 to 1.5 million level. So
yeah,
it's going to take some time to turn around.
Right, right. Yeah, I think 2009 is going to be an interesting year, but there is going to be a rebound, hopefully more sooner than later. I interviewed Kermit Baker, who is the economist with the AIA, the American Institute of Architecture. And he actually said that the dynamics of this dip are a lot different than the last time we had a dip, and that this one might be shorter lived. So I hope he was right.
Well, I think there are some reasons for that. We just returned from Florida having our annual, one of our board meetings for RFCI, and had some people out there speaking to us, and the economist was talking a little bit about it, and a couple of factors that I think, as I recall from our discussions there, one is that interest rates still are very favorable.
Yes.
And as long as inflation is under control, you know, interest rates will continue to be very favorable, which has always been a big driver for the construction and building trades, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then also from what the discussion also centered a little bit on the length and depth of the recession. And he made an interesting point that I had never really thought about. Historically, looking at recessions that were a little bit longer in nature, that they typically were inventory-driven. And I thought this was a good observation, that now with what people have done with just-in-time manufacturing, and you look at the automotive sectors and all of them, a lot less dependent on inventory levels to fill the supply chain versus doing just-in-time types of manufacturing. So consequently, one of the points of view that he was making is that because of that factor, it may be one of the drivers that will help this recessionary period be a little shallower,
mm-hmm,
than what we've seen in the past.
All right, well, about to run out of time, Dean. I really do appreciate you spending time with our listeners today. We've been talking to Dean Thompson, who is the president of the Resilient Floor Covering Institute, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.